Glory, 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 glory. Go ahead, sit down for a sec. I'm just going to ask this question first. How many people knew what Valkyrie is? Yeah. I mean, do you know right now what Valkyrie is? Okay. So I just want to, okay. So, okay, we've been following Dutch Sheets. Okay. And some of us, all right. Operation Valkyrie, this was last night, and we couldn't get everybody informed. Today, okay, where do I start here? Everybody knows Dutch Sheets, right? The intercessor? All right. On September 9th, 2020, my friend Clay Nash was given a dream regarding Cape Henry. I took a team there a few weeks later to pray, as the dream instructed. One portion of the dream, however, was for later. A clear strategy will be revealed for a prayer initiative beginning with the first state to form our nation. Yeah, this, okay. Sorry, I thought it was way ahead of it. Okay. A clear strategy will be revealed for a prayer initiative beginning with the first state to form our nation to the last one. I have been waiting to receive this strategy for 2.5 months. When the strategy arrived, it too was given to me, this is Dutch Sheets, in a dream. On the morning of November 28th, not that long ago, a few days ago, in a dream I saw Independence Hall and the large clock tower. This is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. An angel came and stood on top of the clock tower and shouted, "When the clock strikes 3 a.m., Valkyrie will fall and will not sing, if the sons of the kingdom will pray." I then saw fervent prayer taking place in the night and through the night, and it caused the witchcraft and the curse to bounce back to the sender. There was then another group of warriors awakened, clothed in battle array. Guess what? That's you. Who was surrounded and led by a host of angels. One of the angels declared repeatedly, "The commander's judgments are supreme." It energized the warriors and they joined in with the declaration. I then saw the scales of justice tip and become perfectly balanced. Let me begin. But what is Valkyrie? Let me begin by saying neither I nor the man having the dream had ever heard of it. First, the literal meaning of Valkyrie is choosers of the fallen or slain. In Norse mythology, these were the goddesses that decided who was slain on the battlefield. The historical meaning of Valkyrie is derived from the Nazi plan to regain control of Germany should the people of the nation rebel. They called it Valkyrie. Could be the same thing here. The German soldiers who tried to assassinate Hitler were actually using this same Valkyrie plan to kill him and take over Germany. Thus, Valkyrie, in its simplest definition, is a plan to take over a country. In our situation, it couldn't be more obvious. Valkyrie represents the plan to take back America by stealing the election. The literal definition would mean they have decided Trump must be taken out or die on the battlefield. I pondered the Valkyrie dream, wondering if it combined with the first dream held the prayer strategy I had been awaiting. Rising at 4:30 a.m. Sunday to catch an early flight to Nevada for the next state prayer gathering, I turned on the TV to catch some news while I drank my coffee. The first thing that popped on the screen at 4:44 a.m. was a documentary on Valkyrie. Ah, come on, get excited. For heaven's sake, he didn't know what Valkyrie was. So he gets up. What? He said, "God, I don't know what Valkyrie is." Turns on the thing. He's been running. Dutch Sheets been running to every state that is a hanging state. And he's tired. I mean, I have been praying for him. My gosh, would go out of their way to pray. And those meetings were lasting 3 hours in those states at certain churches. So he wants to know what Valkyrie is and doesn't really have time to look it up. It appears on the TV set in a documentary on Valkyrie. Okay. I mean, I was like, you think that's not God? Okay. Okay. No, where was I? Got too excited. Okay. With the title in bold letters, Operation Valkyrie. That was on the TV. I had my answer. So we listened to it. The second dream says Valkyrie will fall at 3 a.m. Eastern time if the sons of the kingdom pray. The first dream said that praying this was to start with the first state that formed our nation, which was Delaware, then the second, Pennsylvania, and so on all the way through the last state to join the United States, Hawaii. The strategy was simple. We made it easy. If each state would offer a minimum of 3-minute decree, one immediately after the other, it would take 2.5 hours. If we start at 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll finish at 3 a.m. And in Nebraska, it started at 11:30 a.m., at p.m. He gave the decree. Many of us said it. I'm going to read what it was. I know some of you, we couldn't get to you all because we just got this on Tuesday morning and we had to say it that night. And, as Christ's ecclesia, who knows what the ecclesia is? It's the church. The ecclesia is the church. But what is the church? The church is people who are born again, not denominations, not that is it. There's people in those denominations that are born again, but everywhere I go, when I even married Lonnie and Sonia up in Washington, I made sure I said it at their wedding, that the church is the people who are born again throughout the world. Okay. There are brothers and sisters. So this is what we declared at 118, because Nebraska would have, it said 218 on Eastern, but it was 118. 118 a.m. in the morning, a lot of us had our clock set, and we said this decree. As Christ's ecclesia on the earth, we have been delegated as supreme authority to declare unto the spirit realm what is lawful and unlawful, forbidden and allowed. We have been given Christ's keys with which to close doors no one can open, and open doors no one can close. According to his instructions, we join together in unity across our nation tonight, from the first state to the last, in order to end Valkyrie's plot to steal America's 2020 elections. We agree with the angel of the Lord and using his very words, join him in decreeing that when the clock strikes 3 Eastern Standard Time, Valkyrie will fall and will not sing. The plot will end. We declare that our prayers are causing the witchcraft and curse to bounce back on the sender. We decree that the commander's judgments are supreme, and we decree the scales of justice will now tip and become perfectly balanced. We decree the next 4 years of Donald John Trump's presidency will see the fruit of God's divine reset of America. We will experience a third great awakening. We will return to our ancient paths and foundations, including being a voice of the gospel of the kingdom to all the earth, and America's heart will be captured once again by her creator, Yahweh. In Christ, all authority, we make this ruling. Amen. And that's all that people had to say. It took about 2 minutes, and he said to pray the rest of the 3 minutes, and then the next state, and there were people from all over, I think, every state. Well, this morning, okay, I mean, I had it set on the phone, didn't even turn on the lights, had my phone on to give a little alarm with music, and I sat up in bed, and Ken and I agreed. I didn't even turn on the lights at all, because the phone was the light, but we said those things, and then prayed in the spirit, and it, whatever anybody, you know, and went back to sleep. Okay, so I get up this morning, and it's on there about how several people from different states actually showed up at 3 a.m. in Pennsylvania at the Watchtower, and I could hear them praying in tongues back there. They were definitely praying in tongues, and they had a lady talking. Dutch Sheets wasn't there. I'm sure he wasn't, but this is what I wanted to tell you. At 3 a.m. when the bell tower tolled, they took a couple of pictures, people did, and the one picture turned out real good, and an angel came down. You could see it. Oh, it's on my phone. I tell you what, when I saw that this morning, I cried. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. It was very obvious. Very, very obvious. Okay, so what I'm telling you, and Tony's going to preach it tonight, but then also his, excuse me, his day today, he wants us, he had a born-again spirit-filled lawyer write this up and appeal to heaven, which is, we have that same flag he has too, furnished by him. But we are supposed to say these like in our devotion time when we're praying or whatever. And we it was PDF. So we copied it off and you sign it and you keep it. But I don't want to read the whole thing for this. Okay, 7:30, not bad, see. Well, I could real fast. I'm a fast reader. I'll read it fast. Probably won't make sense, but. Okay, this appeal by right based on the premises below for the court to hear. This is the Supreme Court of Heaven. To hear this case, forgive our sin, heal our land, and grant such other requested relief. Oh, the people of God who are called by his name in their individual and joint capacities, principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places and so forth. We appeal to heaven. And it's necessary for us to do this right after what we did last night. And people from every state were cooperating. The people of God who are called by his name in their individual and joint capacities, excuse me, my voice, who submit this appeal to heaven and the Supreme Court of the God, judge, and creator of the universe, and respectfully request that you enter an order to hear this appeal from heaven. Forgive our sins and heal these United States of America. By enjoining the appellees, that's all of us, I guess, from any further action to kill, steal, or destroy your will for these United States, known as the enemy, and enjoining that the earthly results of the pending elections for the United States of America's President, Senate, and House of Representatives be accomplished now on earth, in accordance with your divine kingdom and will in heaven, namely that Donald J. Trump be reelected president of these United States with sufficient supporting numbers in both houses of Congress for your will to be accomplished and for this nation. And it gives, it's 1, 2, 3, it's humiliation. It's what was promised in 2 Chronicles. It's our prayer. I'm just going to give these to you because it's too long to read. It's several pages long. But do read them. This is absolutely necessary. Don't give up. Someone? Okay, so can we pass these out? Ushers and crushers? Okay, let my hands off of it, right? We're also going to receive the tithes and offerings right now. So you can do that too while they're passing them out. And okay, maybe some people don't have masks on. What it's and it's fine. What it says, if you're in one family, you can sit together, but as long as you social distance, you don't have to wear a mask. That's what the directive said, but it's however you feel comfortable. Also, no, nothing to and the speakers and singers, when you're singing, you do not have to wear one. It actually said that when you're speaking, you do not have to wear one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. Yeah, so get your tithe and offering, Jackie. You forgot it. Do we have enough? Oh, good. Hallelujah. Wow. Everybody got one? Tammy, does your group have one? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And I got one. Sometimes I forget myself. Okay. So Father God, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in the United States of America. Thank you, Father, for prayer. Thank you, Father, that we got God on our side. And if God is for us, who can be against us? We just praise you and thank you, Father. Oh, I thank you, Father, that according to your prophets, Lord, yes, everybody's coming against them, not everybody. But Lord, I know that your prophets are right, Lord, and I thank you and praise you, Lord. Thank you and praise you, Lord, for the privilege and honor it is to give into the kingdom of God, especially at this time, Lord God. Oh, what exciting times we live in. And we thank you, Father, that giving us the privilege of being alive at this time, being able to fight as warriors for you, God. What an honor. Oh, Lord, I know that all my life I said, God, let me be alive when things like this happen at my age and be able to just participate in it. And I thank you so much for that. We praise you, Lord God. And I ask you to bless every person giving this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, he lost out. Glory to God. You can be seated. Amen. Well, you know what? No matter what you hear, I'll just.
That was the shortest song I ever heard.
Oh.
That was a short song.
I was like, what?
That was a short song.
I'm just going to say this. Somebody visited us just today, just for a little while, or came over, and they're born again. But they just said, well, what are you talking about? Biden got in. And, I mean, it's just like, you know, some people that are Christians don't even know what's really going on. Oh, my gosh. But... oh, this is just my cup of tea. Anyway. Yep. Yeah, you're right.
I didn't want to do a Joyce Meyers thing. That time she had a big... 15,000 people there. She had to stop and go to the bathroom. Oh, so she held up a whole conference meeting and said, sorry, I got to go to the bathroom. Joyce Meyers walked off the stage. I didn't want to do that. If you played the full song out, I would have had plenty of time. Well, we know we're living in some trying times. So I'm going to pray and then we'll get at it. Father, we thank you for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day and this group of people here. We ask you, Father God, to rest each one of them, that you open their eyes so they can hear it and see, receive this word. And that they will allow this word to have its home in their hearts over riches so they can know the truth, because the truth can make them free. And they can help share with others, help get them free. So, Father, we thank you. I just yield myself to you to be a vessel to use. I'm learning just like everybody else here. And you're taking some glory and glory. We thank you, Father God, in Amos 3:7, you do nothing without first telling your prophets. We thank you for the prophets that we're hearing now. We've heard the prophets of Baal, the prophets of the world, the prophets of the media, prophets of Baal, lying to us and deceiving us. But we thank you for the prophets that are speaking forth the truth. And Father, we thank you that for Hank Kuhneman and for Dutch Sheets and all these guys that are prophetically speaking, Father God, and traveling and interceding for us, for this nation, Father. And we thank you that you are taking this nation back. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the press says. You are taking the nation back. And this election will be turned back the way it's supposed to be. Your plan, your will. Father, it says in your word that nothing can hinder or reverse the plans you have for this nation. Nothing can hinder or reverse the plans that you planned before there's even one day. The devil can't reverse and hinder your plans. And we know that Satan's big prize is not just the United States, but it's also if Israel standing alone. But the United States is woven together with Israel. We are one with Israel. If you say, if you take J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M, we are woven together with Israel. And we thank you for a president that stands with Israel as a friend with Netanyahu and Israel. Friend of the church. And, he, and he's a president who, who's for life. And he's for families. He's for the church. He said for biblical truths. And he's not deceiving people, but he's a young Christian guy who, if we had to be like him and go through what he did, we have trouble walking as Christians too. I mean, we're fighting, trying to be Christians, stay in faith, and look what we go through, but look what he's been going through. So, Father, we thank you, Father God, for this word and season today in Jesus' name. Turn with me to Psalm 139, verse 1 to 4. Hank Kuderman, if you go to his website, he got their Facebook got cut off two times of both services Sunday. They cut him off, and he made a prophetic word. The second one, it was at 10:30, that God was doing something big this week, and then look what happened last night. Yep. He said, "Oh Lord, you see these people think they're getting away with but they're not." God said he sits in the heavens and laughs. But you know what he told me? I perceived he said, laugh with me. Instead of being full of sadness and joy and worrying and being fretting and anxiety about what's going on, don't worry about that. Watch who you're listening to. And laugh with God because he's laughing about the whole thing. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He says, "Oh Lord, you have stretched me, you searched me thoroughly, thoroughly, and have known me." So He knows all of us. You know my downsitting, my uprising, when I'm up, when I'm down, when I'm in faith, when I'm out of faith. He knows it all, right? You understand my thought afar off. He knows what you're gonna, what you're thinking right this moment. He knows what you're thinking all the time. So what are you thinking about? Are you worrying about what's going on? Are you just looking at somebody in here and saying, "I don't like that person"? You know, thinking bad about them? Where your thoughts are? Because I had a vision. I'm going to jump into it right now. I had a vision Monday morning before I even got out of bed. The word Exodus came to me. And I laid there in bed and thought, Exodus, Exodus, Exodus. And then all of a sudden I saw people exiting. They were going down to a river, like the Israelites when they went out of the Red Sea. And it was rows and rows and rows of people for miles. And I just laid there and thought. And then all of a sudden I saw these people crossing that Red Sea. The enemy was bearing down on them. And that's what's going on right now. The enemy's trying to bear down on us. Right on the people, trying to bring us in communism, socialism, communism, trying to bear down on us. But see, what it did was these people was all of a sudden were crossing the Red Sea. And the Red Sea stands for their sins being washed away. They're being delivered. They're being delivered, liberating me completely free. And then when it got to their side, the water went back and washed everything away. They had no past anymore. They had no past. And when I looked, I saw drugs were on the bank, cigarettes on the bank, alcohol was on the bank. All this stuff was washed away. They were free. They were free. That's what I saw. It said, "I perceive that God has given me this thought Monday morning before I got out of bed. The word Exodus came to me several times. As I laid there, I saw a great exodus of people, so many people. As I laid there, I realized that a great exodus of people were coming out of Egypt, out of the world." and crossing the Red Sea. And water was closing behind the masses of people. God was bringing closure on their past and crossing over them over into complete deliverance, complete freedom. I took it that it was not just the United States, but people all over the world. And God wants to use the United States to spread the gospel all over the world. Careful daughter saw the United States being brought down to a stub. I was in Joplin, Missouri after the tornado hit there, and it looked like just a little toothpick sticking out of the ground. And that's what Careful Daughter saw. He saw a little stub sticking out of the ground, nothing on it. Now all of a sudden he saw a branch here and a branch there. Next thing you know, the branch was spreading out. The plant wasn't high, it was spreading out. And that's the gospel going out all the world to the United States. See, that's what Satan wants to stop. He wants to, he's coming against the church to try to stop the church. And then he's trying to stop this from happening. But he can't. He can't stop it. Because God's going to use the United States to spread the gospel all over the world. There was being closure in their past, crossing them over into a complete deliverance, complete freedom. I took that it was not just the United States, but people of the world. 2 Corinthians 5:16, we are to now see them, no matter where they came from, wherever they come out of, whatever they have ever done, or used to be, we have to see them as spiritual beings, not just human beings. We got to see them now from a different perspective. We see what they are now in the Lord, and we don't look at the past. But you see, what happens when people come in here, how are we going to see them? Because they don't look right, they don't dress right, you know, you know what they were. Maybe they were homosexual, lesbian, or whatever it was. They come out of drugs, alcohol, whatever they had done. Are we going to see that? Or are we going to see what they are in the spirit realm as God sees them? Their lives have changed. God said he's washing things away. And what took us so long to get free of, they're getting free quickly. But the problem you can have is that when they come in, the older ones get jealous. Because these people are, these young people and all these people come in, they're so fired up for Jesus and they're really radical. They're really radical with the Lord, but they irritate the ones that are religious now. But see, we've got to see them, but we've got to help them mature. When I got born again, I was radically changed. I was driving down the highway. One minute I was saying, well, the wife walked down, the kids and I got the home, I got the kids. Now I can go out this late and this late. And all of a sudden, the next thing it was Jesus came into my heart. What happened? Romans 10:8 said there was a word that came alive in my heart that moment. I received Jesus in my car. In the United States, almost everybody has heard the word. Some word that God can use. He can use any word and cause that word to bear fruit in due season. And I got radically changed October 30th, 1989, quarter seven in the morning, driving 109 miles from home, driving on the highway. It happened just that quick. One minute I was a heathen, next minute I was born again. You know, but it took a long time for me to get the grave clothes off. But I was in a church where I was radical, really radical for Jesus. I want everybody to know Jesus. Hey, we got to go and tell everybody about Jesus. You know, I was blind, but now I see, you know, all this stuff. And I was irritating the older people. And the pastor's always sticking up for me, you know. And I said something wrong one day to one lady, and I don't even know how to talk. But I said something. She said, why don't I talk that way around here? And walked away. And I go, what did I say? What did I do? I had no idea what I did wrong. Then one lady said, if you knew who you were, you wouldn't act that way. I thought, act that way? You're sitting there, you never do anything. You don't even sing. You don't even do anything. You don't even praise the Lord. And you're saying, I'm going to be like you? But see, you got to be careful, because what happened was, is you hang around them people, you become like them. I used to go door to door. I went to almost three quarters of the town, maybe at the time, going door to door and telling everybody about Jesus. We did that healing school thing, and we were going door to door, win your city for Jesus, the Francis and Charles Hunter, you know, and we were getting people, you know. Say in the prayer with me a lot. Now, I know some people, we were not like Jehovah's Witness or Mormon like that. We didn't try to force them, pull them out of their churches. We just, you know, we say, hi, my name's so-and-so. Do you go to church anywhere? And they go, yeah, we go to church. Well, I want to encourage you to go to church. Oh, really? Why would you want to do that? You know, that's what they probably thought. But see, I wasn't trying to pull them out. I wanted to tell them something about the Lord. And some of them would receive Jesus, and some would, in fact, most of them, it just said prayer. And then some would ask for prayer for healing or something like that. But it was a wonderful experience. But then I became religious like everybody else, and I stopped doing that. Now, along comes Michelle. She's riding over the Lord. She's radical with the Lord, and she's going to Walmart and doing all this stuff. And I see her sitting out downtown there. Do you need prayer? You need prayer? But see, that should stir us all up. We got to stop being religious. Religious, it destroys people. Yeah, because all of a sudden you happen. This is not part of my message, but go to Matthew chapter 15. I told him he's in charge, not me. Pat 6 verse 9:15 Everybody there? This is the Amplified. For the sake of your traditions, the rules handed out by your forefathers, you have set aside the word of God, depriving it of power and authority and making it of no effect. You pretenders, hypocrites, admirably and truly did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, these people draw near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Neither do they worship me, for they teach as doctrines the commands of men. See, a lot of churches are compromising and they're teaching false doctrines now. You know, they built the churches up so fast, and they were, you know, they were not out making disciples of people. It's making converts. So they weren't training the people up. They were just coming in. Their church was getting big. And so they built these bigger buildings and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, these people start falling away. Now the church are going broke because the people, the money, some of the money left. But also, they start teaching things that some of the other ones that had money in there that would have stayed, they didn't like the compromise. And so the pastors start compromising everything, right? And they were doing everything they can to keep the church and pay for the building. And pastors are compromising all over the place. The church are compromising. They're siding with the world, you know, and they're... People in the churches are dead now. I know my daughter, Tammy, the oldest one, she said she was up on the stage one time, and she was looking out there and saw the church was full of people. But then next she looked, she saw they were all dead. See, people may appear to be alive, but yet they're sitting in their pews dead. Okay, so... God's going to be bringing them. He said, warned that we must not become jealous of them because they are being blessed, even blessed. You know, when I first got born again, I was getting blessed all over the place. You know, I'd something would attack me. I worked on the railroad, so you have little aches and pains, and you speak to it, and it'd go away right away. Wow, yeah. And then God was supplying all my needs. He gave me Matthew 6, where it talks about why are you worried about food or clothes, things to wear. Because when reality set in, I go, how am I going to pay for all this stuff now that we don't have two paychecks anymore? And so I opened up my Bible, and the first thing I opened up to was Matthew 6. Why are you worried about foods and clothes, things to wear? I'll know your needs. Seek me and I'll meet all those needs. So the next thing, you know, I opened up, he said, when you stand before the judge, the Lord will give you the words to say. Luke 12:12. Sure enough, when I stood before the judge, she never said anything. I got everything I wanted. I gave her whatever I wanted to give her. I had physical custody. We had joint custody with me, physical. But you see, God saw me through. Yes. But then, of course, you know, being in the wrong church, and the church was dead, the pastor left the church, and therefore we're controlled by a religious board that didn't want the Holy Ghost to move. And so we were hungry for a church. So we were meeting at my house on Wednesday nights and praying for a church and a pastor. And all of a sudden, Pastor Jackie and Ken start coming to the church. I come to prayer. And it wasn't long. All of a sudden, it was that she ended up being the pastor. So we actually prayed her in here. But there was many people that were meeting there praying for a pastor, but they never did come to the church. For whatever reasons. But when young Christians are getting blessed so much, it makes people jealous. Because when you wax cold and you're not as hot as you what you were, and you're not getting blessed now, and it seems like you have all these aches and pains, all these things going on, and they're getting blessed right and left, you get jealous of them. And all of a sudden now your thoughts go out the door. Now your thoughts are bad. You despise them. You're angry at them. You're unforgiveness for them. You can't stand them. And this is what God's got to deal with our thoughts in these last days. Because our thoughts are stink. Not everybody has those kind of thoughts, but you know, God, if you have a bad thought about anybody, God knows it. He already knows your thought before you even thought it. So it said back here to that scripture, it says 139, it says, "You know my down city, my uprising, you understand my thought afar off. You sift and search my path, my lying down, and you acquainted with all my ways. For there was not a word in my tongue so uttered, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." He knows what you're going to say before you say it. If you live to be 120, he knows what you're going to say on the 120th day. 120th year on the first day. He knows what you're going to say. He knows everything about you. You can't hide nothing from him. If you hate me, well then you know, he knows it. You know, if you don't like this message, he knows it. If you're not listening, he knows it. If you don't care about the message, he knows it. You know, he knows everything about you. Okay, go with me now to the 16th verse on that. He says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book, all the days of my life were written before this ever they took place and shape, when there were yet none." He wrote a book about every human being that ever was born. And his plan was for every human being. He had a plan for every human being. He placed it in their heart. But because of the sin nature, I'm getting into a message for my, but because of sin nature, we're all planters of seed, but we have to die before we can live. A seed has to die and crack open, and then it's alive again. And so we all have a sin nature because we were born from the seed of a man, our fathers. So we, generation of curses are handed down. A lot of the way they act and everything they do are the curse adding down. Whether curse is on upon your family that Satan had put on your family. Mine was pornography, so that passed down through the family tree on my dad's side. And so I had to deal with that. Now I'm dealing with people back there with it because I got free. But I was you were a seed that had to die before it could live. It had to crack open. So every human being, not every human being, dies to self and cracks open so it lives. So people are out there walking dead. Now, if you're born again, you're alive. And you have no longer a sin nature. Why do I do what I do? Because you got to renew your mind. Change the way you think. That's where it is. It changes it and renewing your mind. That's where it is. That's why you're doing things you don't want to do, because you haven't changed your mind. But see, we got to realize that everybody that comes in here, they're going to be at different levels. And so we have to give everybody a chance to change. We're not supposed to police people and try to make them change. Let God change them. Let's stand with them and make them feel welcome and love them and share that. We got to be careful of false doctrines too, because that comes into churches. Satan's always trying to bring false doctrines to get people to believe it's not true in the church, and they wrap around them, they pull them out. And we got to protect our young people that come in here. They're going to be coming in here in masses. They're going to come in here looking for love. They're going to come in here looking for something that we can give them, but we've got to reach out to them. So therefore, God's warning, do not be jealous. Do not have negative thoughts about them. You know, bless them.
Amen.
You know, if a bad thought comes, say, no, I put that on the blood, you know, and then think something good about them. You know, but change the way you think, because otherwise you're going to sit there and everybody's being blessed in here and you're not. And then you're going to wonder why. And you're going to get mad and angry because nothing's working out for you, but it's all you're just stinking thinking. You know, love is thinking the best of somebody all the time. Love is thinking the best. If you ever had a bad thought about anybody, you're out of love. But also, if God ever had a bad thought about anybody, he's out of love. And God is love. God has always saw what people can be and not what they are. And that's what he works on. He knows what they are. He knows what they're doing, but his thoughts about them are precious. I don't care how bad they are. He still has a good plan for you. Look at this. Look at the 17th verse. How precious and weighty also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would be more number than the sand. When I awoke, could I count to the end? I would still be with you. I like the way the Passion Bible says it. Anybody got the Passion Bible? This isn't even part of my message, guys. I don't care. Yep. Okay, it says here, so before I ever seen the light of day, the number of my days were planned for me. We're already recorded in your book. Every single moment you are thinking of me. There's a scripture that says you're tattooed on the back on the palm of his hands. Amplified is the only one that says that. You are tattooed on the palm of both of his hands. Right now he sees you right now. He's looking at you right now. He's constantly aware of you. See, before I ever seen the light of day, the number of my days you planned for me, you were already recorded in your book. Every single moment you are thinking of me. And that one about the tattoo is Isaiah 49:16, if you want to write it down, about the tattoo. God's into tattoos, but that's the only kind of tattoo he's really into. How precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. Oh God, your desires toward me are more than the grains of the sand of every seashore. When I wake each morning, you're still with me. Think about that. Can you imagine how much sand's in the world? And it's more than that. His thoughts about you are more than that. For all eternity, we're going to come to know his love even more. Never, never, ever coming to understand it all and know it all. So you can't be a know-it-all in heaven. Okay. So. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 12. I'll read 1 to 8, but the verse one verse I want to zero in on is verse 5. So it'll be Proverbs 12, 5 is the main one, but it's going to be 1 to 8. Okay? 1 to 8, verse 5 is what I'm going to focus in on. Okay, so it says, whoever loves instruction and correction loves knowledge. But he who hates reproof is like a brute beast, stupid and discriminating. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked devices he condemns. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the incompetent righteous shall never be moved. He's saying you shall never be moved if you stay with God. A virtuous and worthy wife, earnest and strong in character, is a crown joy to her husband. Is that true, guys?
Amen.
But he who makes him ashamed is a rottenness in his bones. They don't do that, do they? Not to, you're not your wives. The thoughts and purposes of the considered righteous are honest and reliable, but the counsels and designs of the wicked are treacherous. That's the one I wanted to know. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them, and the innocent ones thus endangered. The wicked are overthrown or not, but the righteous shall stand. You're going to stand if you don't give up on the Lord. Don't give up on the Lord. Don't give up on yourself. Okay, now go to Proverbs 15. It says, the thoughts of the wicked are shamefully vile, exceedingly offensive to the Lord. What's going out there is offensive to the Lord. He still sees them what they can be, but he knows what they're doing. And to him, it's very offensive what he's doing to the Lord. But the words of the pure are pleasing and words to him. So when you speak God's word about every situation and say what his word says, your words are pure and pleasing to him. You're speaking, look what we just watched. I mean, we've been watching about that sheet. What they're saying is positive stuff. It's good stuff, and that's pleasing to God. And when you get up in the middle of the night at 1:18 in the morning and you're sitting there confessing stuff, you know, that's pleasing to him. Amen? Okay, 29th verse. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the consistently righteous, the upright and standing with him. He's hearing all these prayers we're praying because we're righteous. Okay, turn with me now to, I'll go to Proverbs 16, 1 and 2. The plans of the mind and orderly thinking belong to man, but the Lord comes from the Lord comes the wise answer of the tongue. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits and thoughts, intents of the heart. So he's weighing the thoughts and intents of every one of our hearts right now. He's weighing them. I want to be pleased with him, don't you? Then go here to the fourth verse, 16:4. The Lord has made everything to accommodate itself and contribute to its own end and its purpose. Even the wicked are fitted for their role, for the day of calamity and evil. That doesn't mean he created them to do that, but they're doing it so they're fitted for what they're doing. They're going to get the reward. Fifth verse, everyone proud and arrogant in heart is disgusting and hateful, exceedingly offensive to the Lord. What they're doing out there, haughty, and they're very offensive to the Lord, and they think they're getting over on everybody. They think they have all these things they're planning in secret. Nobody knows. God knows it all. And he's revealed it to the prophets. So we're coming to know it too. But see, they're proud and arrogant. You know, they think, we've got it, man. We've got this election. We got, you know, they're just really haughty about it. And you're sitting there, you come out there and they're smiling at, hey, we've got this. Nancy Pelosi, we got this. Yeah, she doesn't realize. Yeah. We forgive her and we love her. Everyone proud and arrogant in heart is disgusting, hateful, and exceeding offensive to the Lord. Be assured, I pledge it. He said, I pledge it. They will not go unpunished. What they're doing, they're going to be punished for if they don't change. He's dealing with every one of them. He said, Peter, it says about his, I think it's 1 Peter 3, 9. He said he's slow in coming because he's very, because he's giving everybody a chance. But he said they've run out of time. He's run out of time. Because there's 60 million babies that have died, murdered. And you know what you know what abortion's all about? It's not about the woman's right to control her own body. It's about Baal worship. It's always been about Baal worship. If you read the Old Testament through, Israelites got involved in Baal worship. Just read Psalm 106 and 107. They sacrificed their babies to Baal. But what we've done with our children, we've sacrificed our children to Baal too, actually. And these babies are being aborted. There's people in our government that are involved in Baal worship, which Freemasonry is. If you go to 36th degree, they believe in Baal's their God. And most of them don't even know that. Most of them don't know that they're serving Baal in Masonry. They don't realize it. But see, it's all about sacrificing those babies to Baal. To sacrifice their God, the devil. That's what it's all about. Sixth verse. By mercy and truth. Love and truth. And fidelity to God and man. Not by sacrifice or offerings. Iniquity is purged out of the heart. By the reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord, men depart from and avoid evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even peace with them. He's changed the hearts of some. Some are going to move out of the way. Some are going to fall dead. But that's their choice. God, when God takes his hand off, they're dead. Really? He's turned them over. Since the devil kills, steals, destroys people, not God. God lets them go because they want to go. That's their free will. Turn to Isaiah 59, verse 1. Wow. I packed my lunch. How about you guys got a lunch? It's a pastor's fault for, it wasn't because I went to the bathroom. You chose a song that was short. I thought, I can run in there. Okay, we're going to do 1:18. Behold the Lord. Everybody there? Behold the Lord's hand is not shortened at all. That it cannot save. Nor his ear dull with deafness that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. That doesn't mean you. But if you do have negative thoughts and you're mad or angry at somebody and you haven't forgiven them, you're separating yourself from God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he cannot hear you. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue mutters wickedness. That's what's going on right now in Washington, D.C. And in all these swing states and stuff like that. Yeah. None sues or calls in righteousness, but for the sake of doing injury to others, to take some undue advantage. No one goes to law honestly and pleads his case in truth. They trust in emptiness, worthlessness, and futility, and lies. Speaking lies, they conceive mischief and bring forth evil. That's what's going on. For they hatch adders' eggs and weave their spiders' web, and he who eats their eggs dies. You're eating their lies, you're going to die. If you're listening to the news, the fake news, you're going to die. Don't let that be. Listen to the prophets. Go to YouTube and turn on Dutch cheats. You know, go on to Hank Kuhneman and some of these guys because you're going to hear the good word you need to hear. Because otherwise you hear the news and you think, well, it's over with, it's done with, you just give up. No, it's not over. So they hatch adders' eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats their eggs dies, and from an egg which is crushed a viper breaks out, and their nature is ruinous, deadly and evil. Their web will not serve as clothing, nor will they cover themselves with what they make. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. How many? 60 million babies? They don't care about the old people dying in old folks' homes. My mom was in Dunkeld. I couldn't see her for months and months and months, and I got to see her the day before she died. And that was because she was in hospice. I'd seen her, and I'd walked out of that hospital, the hospice at 4:15, 7:09 in the morning, she was gone. I prayed that, say, Lord, take her, she'd be able to go home. Because right now, Sharon Perdue's up there all by herself. just shoved into a room. And they're starving them. They don't give them water. They're just letting them die. Then they all put up the virus. It's killing them. No, it's not. They're starving them. They're killing them. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Desolation and destruction are in their paths and highways. The way of peace they know not, and there is no justice or right in their goings. They have made them into crooked paths. Whoever goes in them does not know peace. Therefore are justice and right far from us, and righteousness and salvation do not overtake us. We have salvation. No, because we got Jesus, right? We expectantly wait for light, but only see darkness or go on the world out there, but we can know in our spirits, we can see something, we can see light. For brightness, but we walk in obscurity and gloom. We don't. But I'm talking about, this is about them. You know, people are in hopelessness. That's what we're talking about here. So you have hope. We grope for the wall like the blind. Yes, we grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at noonday as the twilight in dark places among those who are full of life and vigor. We are as dead men. We all groan and growl like bears and moan plentifully. I don't know, I'm not going to read this too much more. Like doves, we look for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it's far from us. It's not far from you. It's far from those that are in religion. Let's go on to something else here. Go with me to Isaiah 65, 1 to 3. I was ready to be inquired. I was ready to be inquired of by those who asked not. I was ready to be found by those who sought me not. I said, "Here I am." Here I am, says I am. He was pleading with all of them. Come, repent. Ask me to forgive you, and I'll forgive you. No matter what you've ever done, I'll let it go. Just like all those masses that are coming in these last days, God is forgiving them when they repent. They're walking through the Red Sea and their sins are washed away. And their past is dead. But he'll do the same thing to them. He would have forgave Hitler if Hitler were asked for forgiveness. If he hadn't taken that poison pill.
That's right.
You know, he'll forgive anyone. Well, you talk about Bundy? Murdered what, 34 women?
Yeah, 25.
25? Yeah. And he repented. He became a Christian. Son of Sam, he became Christian in prison. He knew it. They said, "Oh, you just want to get out of prison because you gave hearts to the Lord." No. He said, "I'm never going to get out of here." He became a preacher in prison. The son of Sam, I don't know if you ever heard about him. Killed people in New York. But all these people are turning to the Lord. Because they heard his voice and they asked for forgiveness. So we can't write anybody off. We can't judge anybody that like Nancy Pelosi is going to go to hell. We can't do that. We don't know who's going to go to hell. We don't know who's going to repent. There's going to be a ton that squeal and come clean and spill the beans on everybody else because there's a separation coming even in their own party. Demons hate demons, you know. They never liked each other. Yeah. I have spread out my hand all the day long to a rebellious people in a way that is not good after their own thoughts. Their own thoughts. Who controls their own thoughts? The enemy. A people who provoke me to my face, continuing to sacrifice into idols in gardens and burning incense upon bricks instead of at God's prescribed altar. There's people that are in satanic worship in our government. And it's not just in the United States, it's all over the world.
That's right.
And they're saying that this globalization thing is all part of trying to bring us in globalization. It's trying to dumb down the population, trying to control it. They say we have too many people, so for socialism, they gotta get rid of some of the population. Robert Redford's one of them. I don't know how many Robert Redford. He was into sterilization women in third, four countries. And what do you think? What do you think Planned Parenthood is? Founded by a lady who wanted to kill black babies. Want to control the population. Well, that's kind of like Hitler, you know, getting rid of all these people because he wanted a certain race of people. So he used them all, and then he killed them all. And what's going on right now, the socialists are using people, and then they're going to destroy them in the end. If they think they're going to take over. And they do, they'll kill them. They'll destroy them. I already heard, I think it was Harris, said that when they get in there, they're going to come against all the Trump voters and persecute us. So they're already threatened. Yeah. Are we supposed to live in fear? No. No. Okay, turn with me to Matthew. We're going to go a few of these. Matthew 9, verse 3 and 4. Now, these are some of the ones where it says Jesus knows all thoughts. So people think they're getting away with things. They're conniving in rooms, planning all this stuff. Jesus faced the same thing too. But he knew what they were thinking. There's a bunch of these. Now here he came into Capernaum, and there was a paralyzed man there. And so he said, "Take courage." This is the verses before that. "Take courage, son. Your sins are forgiven you and penalty remitted." Well, the Pharisees got mad because how could he say he can forgive sins? But Jesus, I wonder why did Jesus say, if he's going to heal him, why did he say, "Your sins are forgiven you"? It's because it's the same faith that gets you healed as it gets you born again. It's the same faith. When you got born again, you were born again the cup of seed, but Josh, you were healed by the cup of seed, because it says in Romans 11, 8:11? Yeah. It's that Holy Spirit's restored your mortal body. Your flesh isn't born again, but every organ, part of your body has been restored, given new life. But we didn't know that when we got saved, because we weren't taught that. So we were trying to get something that's already ours. We're trying to get healed when it was already ours. If we'd only known this truth before, we could have received the whole package at the same time. But now we're trying to struggle to get healed when it's the same faith that gets you healed that got you born again. So they got upset. So in the third verse, it said, "Behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, 'This man blasphemes. He claims the rights and prerogatives of God.' But Jesus, knowing and seeing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil and harbor malice in your hearts?'" He knew what they were thinking. They weren't getting away with it. They said, "What is it, the fifth verse, which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or 'The penalty remitted,' or to say, 'Get up and walk.'" He was trying to say that it's the same faith. I was wondering about that for a long time, and then Copeland said that not too long ago. Okay, now go with me to Matthew 12:25. It'll be 25, and I have verse 6 in parentheses too. Is this okay? What happened to getting the 12th chapter? Okay, it says, " Here it is, this man, he was talking about in the 24 verse, this man drives out demons only by and with the help of Beelzebub, the prince of demons. They were accusing him of driving out demons with demons. Yeah. Duh, that's stupid. But see, that's the way religious people, they don't think right. And knowing their thoughts, he said to them, any kingdom that is divided against itself is being brought to desolation and laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will last or can even stand. So it says if Satan drives out Satan, then his house is divided. So think about it, he knew what they were thinking before they even did anything. See, and God knows your thoughts too. Turn with me to Matthew 15, verse 16 to 20. Oh boy. Okay, before that, they were talking about, that's why we read already about your pretenders, you know, about religious people, about false doctrine. We read that in Matthew 6, 15, verse 6 to 9. But then it goes on here, the 12th verse says, then disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were displeased and offended and indignant when they heard this saying about what he said about the religion? And about false doctrine. And then goes on to say, every plant that's not of God can be torn up and thrown out. But he said, the 14th verse said, let them alone and disregard them. They are blind guides and teachers. So they were blind guys and teachers always attacking Jesus, trying to find a way to get to him. Always trying to trick him in so they get a charge against him. That's what we're trying to get on here. They let them alone, disregard them. They are blind guides and teachers. And if a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a ditch. Then the 16th verse says, but Jesus said, are you even yet dull and ignorant without understanding and able to get things together? So then it goes on, do you not see and understand that whatever goes into a mouth passes into the abdomen and passes in on to the place where it is deposited, but comes the mouth of a mouth comes from the heart. So thoughts lead to bad words. So if you harbor malice against somebody, eventually it's going to come out your mouth. If you despise or don't like the teaching or don't like the pastor, eventually it's going to come out your mouth. You're better off just being quiet and going and leaving because you're coming against God's anointed and it's dangerous.
That's right. That's right.
It says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts and reasons, disputings and designs, such as murder, adultery, sexual vice, theft, false witnessing, slander, irreverent speech. These are what makes a man unclean, defiles them. But eating with unwashed hands does not make man unclean or defile it. They always talk the natural, but they didn't understand the spiritual because they couldn't. Amen? So, to save time, he says in your heart, he says in Mark chapter 4, go turn with Mark chapter 4, verse 24. I teach back there, and I teach in series, so I'm trying to do something in an hour, which it takes me days and days and days. It says, and he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. More besides will be given to you who hear. See, it's up to you to listen. When the pastor's teaching, ministering, it's up to you to listen. I'm up here right now, it's up to you to listen. But it's up to you now to also to allow that word into your heart so it can change you And so you can be loaded so that out of your heart, your mouth is going to speak the right things. But it's up to you to allow that word in. You got to take that word and eat it. I'm just responsible to deliver it to you. But see, at the same time, I'm getting something out of it too. So you've got to watch what you're listening to. False teaching, false prophets, the prophets of Baal, the news. You got to be careful what you're listening to because you're going to be affected by it. You know, I've seen my own family in that too, where they've lost their faith and they're more into fear of the virus. But you don't have to fear the virus. You know, it's okay to wear a mask if that's what you want to do. That's where your faith is. Nobody's coming against you because you wear a mask, or because you're watching yourself. But don't live in fear. Don't live in fear. Because what's happened is going to influence you, and so you're going to start speaking the fear out your mouth. So you got to be careful what you're listening to. It says, but we, 1 Corinthians 2:9-16, this is important. I'm just trying to skip through because I don't have enough time. So, you know, I tuned in on YouTube when I first got my Roku, so I was like, this is wonderful. And then you watch this program, and it's talking about the end times, and said, this is really good. And at the end, he goes, Copeland's a false prophet. Bob's a false prophet. This is a prophet. And he was putting his faces up there, go, I listened to all this for an hour, and now I listen to a false doctrine? So you got to really be careful. Okay, it says here, 9th verse. But on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen, nor ear has not heard, has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared me ready keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence and properly obeying him, gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. To us, however, God has unveiled and revealed them by and through his Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring, examining everything, even the soundly profound and bottomless things of God. Divine counsels and things hidden beyond man's scrutiny. For what person perceives and knows and understands what passes through a man's thoughts except the man's own spirit within him? So no one discerns, comes to know and comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't understand God. So all these churches and stuff, where the pastors aren't even born again, they can't understand. They don't even believe it. Most of them don't even believe what they're preaching. You know, I remember when we were going door to door, we had this survey that they took, and it was at the time 80% of pastors didn't even believe what they were preaching. And some of them were going to do it because it's a job, and they didn't want to do any heavy labor, so they were doing that. Really, it's true. It is true. It was a job, and the Bible talks about that. When the rubber meets the road, so to speak, they're gone. It talks, I think, in Zeke or someplace where it talks about that. They're only doing it for hire. But when the people need them, they're gone. So you got to really be careful what you're listening to, because it's you got to, and your spirit, if you're tuned with God, your spirit's going to pick up on that stuff. But see, don't sit there. Well, I just want to watch a little bit more. No, get rid of it. Get it off there. Now, we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend or appreciate the gifts, divine favor and blessing so freely, lavishly bestowed on us by God. Now, here's a key. We are setting these truths forth with words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language. The Word and the Spirit. The Word and tongues. Word praying in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to reveal hidden things. He's going to take what the words that God gives him and going to give you the message to you. He's going to give you the right words. Everything you need, he's going to come from the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach you what the Father's taught, gave him to teach us. That's why when pastor's ministering, that word is coming from the throne room of God through Jesus, who's the pastor, but the Holy Spirit's delivering it to us through her. Delivering it through her. Amen? But see, the Holy Spirit brought that word specifically for that. And if you're not here when you should be here, you missed your time of visitation. It could have been a word that made you free, got you healed, or whatever it was. Got you free. You know what I'm saying? But see, people have started abandoning church, and this mass thing and this virus thing gave an excuse not to be here. I'm not saying don't come. I'm just saying, what's your reason for staying home? God knows the reason why. You don't just want to be here. You don't really care or give a rip of what God has to say. See, it's a motive. God knows your thoughts. Why you do what you do. So you can't pull wool over his eyes. But it's through the Word and the Spirit you're going to know the truth. It's spiritual truth with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. How many is born again here? Well, then you possess him. He's in you. But he wants to reveal his thing to you. But how many is baptized in the Holy Spirit talking in tongues? See, this is what you need because it's going to give you a spiritual language that you can pray out things, pray out mysteries. You're going to come to know things deeper, in a deeper way. And in the last few days, it's really good to have it. Need to have it. It talks about the natural man, a natural non-spiritual person doesn't understand the things of God. Okay, now go down to 16 verse. This is what I want to get to. For who has known and understood the mind of the counsel and purpose of the Lord so as to guide and instruct him? You can't pull over his eyes. You can't instruct him and say, you know, pull over his guy. You can't say something and then get, you know, mean something else and he thinks he knows what you're doing. But we have the mind of Christ. The mind of the anointed one. The mind of the anointed one. The Messiah. We do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purpose of God in our hearts. He's in our hearts. We can know the truth. We don't have to be deceived. The Bible says in the last days, the very elect can be received in these last days. But we have to. Let's turn to. I got to wrap this up here. But 1 Corinthians 3, verse 20. 18 to 23, actually. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 to 23. I want to give you a scripture protective scriptures every day. And there's one of them that just really, really, really is really awesome to me. It means a lot to me. But here it says here, 18 verse, let no person deceive himself. If anyone among you suppose that he is wise in his own age, let him become a fool. Let him discard his worldly discernment and recognize himself as dull, stupid, and foolish, without true learning and scholarship, that he may become really wise. For this is wisdom, is foolishness, absurdity, stupidity with God. For it is written, he lays hold of the wise in their own craftiness. They're not getting away with anything. So just kind of laugh, you know, don't worry about, you know, when they say we're going to go to socialism. No, it's not. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it because that's when you get into sin. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts and reasonings of the humanly wise and recognizes how futile they are. So let no one exult proudly concerning men boasting of having this man, this or that man as a leader, for all things are yours. In other words, it's not just for Copeland. It's not just for Hagen. It wasn't just for certain people. It's for all of us, they're trying to say. It's for all of us. So it doesn't matter what position in the church, a prophet, apostle, bad path, teacher, doesn't matter, music leader. We all have this. Watch this. So this is now he's talking about ministries here. Whether it's Paul's ministry, or Paul's ministry, or Cephas Peter's ministry, or the universe, or life or death, or immediate and threatening present, or the subsequent and uncertain future, all are yours. You own the future. You own your future. Then it goes on, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. God's got you! I got the chills when I got that. But you have authority over life, death, what you're going to face now and in an uncertain future. We don't know what the future is, do we? We know that we win. But you don't know what's going down the road tomorrow, the next day. But see, we own it. Then it says, let's turn to Colossians 3, verse 2 and 3. Now I got two more scriptures. Is that all right with you? It's all pastor's fault. Now the King James says, set your affection on things above. Affection means a duration, love, devotion. That's what affection means. If you got a King James Bible, that's what affection means. Adoration, love, and devotion. But the Amplified says this. Set your minds and keep them set on what is above. Watch what you're listening to. The higher things, things on this earth, as far as we're concerned, you've died. And your real life is hidden in Christ and God. You're hidden in Him. If you're in faith, if you get out of faith, and you get into negative thoughts and you're saying negative things, now you're out here. He can't help you. But when you're in here and you set your love on Him and dose of devotion on Him, and every get to give Him your whole thing, and yeah, He will protect you.
That's right.
Amen. Okay. Go with me to Isaiah 40. There's two of them. Isaiah 32, verse 17, 18. This is the one I say every day too, because it's it just gives you that supernatural peace. Now, if you're righteous, then this is for you. If you're righteous, this is for you. The effect, are you, how many's there? The effect of your righteousness will be, but see, you got to get the will out of it because that Old Testament, it is peace, internal and external. I have peace in here and I got peace out here. I'm not afraid of anything. If I walk in a room full of sick people, I'm not afraid. I'm not going to walk in there on purpose. But I'm not gonna be concerned just because I walked into a place where people are dying. Remember John C. Lake? He had that germ get on. What was that germ? Bubonic plague. It was deadly years ago. And they saw the germ. They put a germ on his hand or arm hand, and that germ died in his hand. That's what it should be with us. So effective your righteousness. Is peace internal and external. The result of your righteousness is quietness, confident trust forever.
Amen.
18 verse, now you got to make this for you. I, as a child of God, I'm dwelling in a peaceful habitation. That's God's His presence, His glory. Under His protection of His covenant, under His umbrella. His habitation. In safe dwelling, quiet resting places. You can rest in a four, that's where everybody's dying around you. Now, turn with me to Isaiah 41:10. Be Isaiah 41:10 and there verse 13 and 14 on that. Remember the story of Peter, how when he saw Jesus walk upon the water, he bid Jesus for him to come, and Jesus had come. So when he followed the instruction of what Jesus said, he was able to do the impossible. He walked upon the water until he got in fear, got his eyes off of Jesus, off the Word. And started looking around the wind, he got scared. He started to sink. You know how fast you sink in water? You ever try to walk upon the water? It's impossible. But when he cried out, Jesus reached out and grabbed him and pulled him up. And you know what? They walked together to back to the boat. What was under Jesus' feet now was under Peter's feet. But see, you're going to find out he's got you too. Oh, I got the chills. Okay, it says here, fear not. There's nothing to fear. Now, see, when he said come, that was a direct order. Come. And when he followed it, come, he could do it. But here he said, fear not. He's saying the same thing. Come, fear not. If you choose to fear not and do what he says, then there was nothing to fear. For I'm with you. So he's with you. If you're born again, he's with you wherever you go. But you need to be aware that he's there. Amen. Then he said, do not around terror and be dismayed or discouraged. I'm the Lord your God. I'm strengthening hard difficulties. Yes, I'm helping you. Yes, I'm holding you up, retaining you or keeping you with my victory of righteousness and justice. His right hand is reaching out to you. Then he goes on to say, 13 verse, fear not, for I, the Lord God, hold your right hand. Right, I said this in the last time I preached. It was your right hand is strength. It means strength. God, if you read the Bible and check out right hand or anything about right, it always means strength. His right hand is got your right hand, right? So he's holding you, retaining you. You're not going under unless you get into fear. Then he says, for I either hold your right hand, I'm the Lord, he says, you fear not. For now I'm not just with you, I'm helping you now. Because you're in faith and I've got you and you've got me. We'll walk what's under my feet, it's under your feet now. Yeah. The circumstances are under Jesus' feet, they're under my feet now. Because he's raised me up above it. I'm not under the circumstance, I'm not under sickness, disease, I'm not under, I'm above. I'm not beneath. Because it says in Ephesians 1:22 that everything's under Jesus' feet. If it's under his feet and I'm one with him, and I'm his body, then the feet's in the body. Right? So this is the way I like to say it. Father, you said, fear not, for you're not, you're with me. But you said, fear not because you're helping me. Because your right hands hold my right hand and we're walking above the circumstances. Therefore, it's under your feet, it's under my feet. Because you're my Redeemer, my Deliverer, Liberty King. He says, you're my Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. He's got you if you're in faith. If you're in fear, he can't help you. So the Lord showed me that as long as you're following what he says, follows his instructions, fear not, with you, I'm helping you. And you believe it. Then his right hand's got your right hand, and you're going to walk above this whole thing that's going on in the world. It's not going to affect you. Because he's your Redeemer. He's your Deliverer. He's your Liberating King. And one more scripture. Psalm 91. I wouldn't leave home without saying Psalm 91, especially how they amplified it. I like it. She likes it out of the Passion, but I like it the way it says out of the Psalm 91. I'm not going to do the whole Psalm 91, but it says, if you go to Psalm 91, verse 7, it says here, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not, it cannot, shall get the shell out of there, he cannot come near you. Only spectator you are, yourself inaccessible. The Bible said you're seen with Christ in heavenly places. Far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, and name is named. All things are Jesus under your feet. So if you've been raised up to that kind of a level and you're seated with Him, well then you're only a spectator now. You're inaccessible because you're in a high place. You're a spectator because you're accessible in the secret, you're in a secret place of the Most High. You're at the right hand of the Father right now, seated at the right hand of authority, right hand of God's authority, on the seat of authority. You're at the right hand of God, you're seated with Christ. So you're seated, you're inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High because you witness and you're witness to the wicked. We see people dying, not all of them are wicked, but we are going to see some that defy God and God's turned them over. But then goes on and said, because you have made the Lord your refuge, your safe place, and the Most High your dwelling, living place. Here's a kicker. There no evil can befall you, nor a plague, infectious, contagious diseases. The virus cannot get you. Sick disease can't get you. Nothing can come near your dwelling. Nothing, no plague or calamity, deep misery, adversity, disaster, tragedy come near your dwelling or your body. It says your tent. It can't come near you when you're trusting Him. You can walk fearless in this earth. We have to fear. Amen? So, don't fear. Because fear puts you in the devil's arena. Faith puts you in God's arena. If you're in fear, it's okay to wear a mask. It's fine. Nobody's judging you because you got one on. Be honest. We don't care. We want you. You just go where your faith is. But be working on your faith. Because we're all coming through this whole thing. We're getting through it. And I don't want anybody in this room to die before the time. Because everyone in this room has got a calling in their life God is predestined for. He wrote a book about, and they shall fulfill it. If you die early, you can't. So we're not gonna point fingers or belittle somebody. No. If they don't want to hug you, that's fine. Do the bump thing or pop or whatever it is. Or do the wink eye. But see, don't judge people, because God knows you're going to judge before you judge them, and that's wrong. That's out of love. Amen? So let's stay in love with each other. When the young people come in here, let's help them. Let's don't, you know, when you find out the past of somebody, what they've been through, what they've done, if it's horrible, it's behind them. It got washed away. Amen? Okay, I better stop. I kind of jumped around a little bit trying to get some stuff in, but, you know, it's trust God. There's nothing to fear. Appeal to heaven. The courtroom of heaven says, by His stripes you are healed. You have been healed. Isaiah said, are healed. But that was before the foundation of the world. Peter saw Him go to the cross, saw Him die and rose again. And he said, we have been healed now. So it's have been healed means it's done. It's yours. Jesus, obviously, on the cross and altar, has died to sin. You're living the righteous by His stripes wounds. You have been healed. So you can take it to heaven. You go, help God. If you're attacking your body by anything, take it to God. Say, God, you said in your courtroom of heaven that by His stripes I'm healed. Yes. Your word says it. Jesus, my lawyer, said I was healed. Yes. So therefore, I claim it. Yes. You can appeal to heaven. You can go to heaven for anything you need, finances, whatever you need. You can appeal to heaven, because if God said it, you can have it. Amen? Yep.